To Matthew in chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I sort of like this picture because I like the mountains, first of all. I like mountains. And there's just something about an old country road, you know, that you walk on. There's just something about that that's just sort of homey and tells a story in itself. And I hope that we can tie this all together and that the picture will be a blessing to you when we show it here in a few moments. We're in Matthew chapter 11. We're going to be looking at the last four verses, starting in verse 27. You got your place? Matthew 11, 27, the Word of God says, "All things are delivered delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we read these verses, and we cannot just step back and just marvel at your grace and your love for your creation. Lord, it humbles us to think of how much effort you put in and what you sacrificed and what you did in order to have a people that are going to one day spend an eternity with you. So, Lord, I pray that the message tonight would speak to hearts, and perhaps there's some here that need this rest that the Lord speaks of here in these verses. And if that be so, I pray that tonight they might yoke up with that one who can give them the rest that they need in their soul. Bless the chalk drawing, Lord. We show it in a little bit, and I trust that everything done here in this service will honor you. Thank you, Lord, for the good music and the special tonight and all the effort that's been put out for this service. And may you get the honor and glory and for everything that's done. And especially, Lord, we pray that that one who's here tonight, perhaps they were invited by some friend of theirs and or perhaps not, but they're here and they're unsaved, never trusted you as their personal Savior. I pray that you'd show them the need and that they might reach out by faith and yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ and might be saved. So bless our time around your word one more time. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. There's something about these verses that just speaks to your heart. You just can't get away from it. There's just something when he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." That speaks to my heart. I think maybe it's because, how many of us really have the rest of God in our heart? How many of us really enjoy the rest that He gives? Because, you know, it's not just, you know, where you lay back and snooze a little bit and get a little bit of rest. That's not the kind of rest He's talking about. It's much deeper than that, and it meets so many more needs. Did you notice that the very first verse? It seems almost disconnected from what we read, but it's significant in the very first few words of that verse. Look at verse 27 one more time. He said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." Huh? In other words, the Father has delivered unto Jesus Christ everything that we need. Because he goes right in the next verse and he says, you know, "Come take my yoke upon you." So the Father has delivered to Jesus everything that you need here tonight. He's delivered everything that you need. And that you need, and that you need, and that I need. It's all in Jesus' hands, and it only requires one thing, And that's our willingness to yoke up with Him. I can't help but think of another place where He says to take something. And that's in just a few chapters later, in chapter 16 of the book of Matthew. He says he's challenging His disciples to take up the cross. Here He's saying, take My yoke. And I think there's probably a connection there, and I've never studied it out. It's just that I preach a message on taking up the cross, and it just came to my mind, you know, as I was thinking about this. And this is another place that he challenges His disciples to take something that He has that will make their life better. You see, that's the whole thing about the Christian life. Whatever Jesus has for you is going to make your life better. Huh? You're here tonight, you're not saved, you've never trusted Christ, and you're in a world of hurt and don't even know it. Listen to this verse back in the book of Isaiah. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. That's the condition of the lost man. That's the condition of his heart. He's a sinner by choice and by nature, and inside of him is just a boiling cauldron of all the negative characteristics you can think of, and hate and greed and all the bad things. And there's a little smidgen of good things in there, so that he thinks that he's not too bad a shape, but he's still just a sinner that needs to be saved. If you're one of those that fit into that category, tonight you can join this fellow here on the road. That's what you can do. You can join him. I want us to look at this at these verses, and I trust that the Lord will just give us something out of them that will help each one of us, because Lord knows we all need that. There's times when all of us need rest. The first thing that I would say is that this is an invitation to rest. Now, I've said just a few moments ago, probably in all of our hearts and in our lives, there is probably some unrest for some reason or other. I don't know what it might be. I have four children, and you know, my ear is attentive, and my wife's ear is attentive to all the needs they have, and I see the unrest in their lives, and they're all, you know, Christians and going to fundamental, independent, Bible-believing churches, and they're involved in the ministry, and yet there's little things that are twinging their life, and I can see it. Perhaps you're the same way. Perhaps there's some turmoil that's boiling up into your heart, and that causes you some consternation every once in a while. Something, and it doesn't necessarily have to be sin. It doesn't have to be sin. Although sin will trouble a Christian. I mean, God will not leave him alone. The conviction of the Holy Spirit will cause his heart to just turn up flip-flops until he gets things right with God. But it doesn't necessarily have to be sin. It can just be something, maybe it's that boss at work. He just gives you fits all the time. You just can't seem to do anything right. Maybe it's a coworker, you know, that's not saved, and he keeps punching your button every chance he gets to make fun of you as a Christian. You know, it can be any one of a thousand different things, but in the midst of all the turmoil and all of this unrest in your heart, you can hear the voice of the Savior saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." That's the rest of the soul. That's something that Satan can't give that. He tries to do that, you know, through drugs and through the unsaved. Hey, I remember when I was, before I trusted Christ, you know, I thought maybe alcohol was an answer, you know. Kind of get a little spooky, you know, up here, and you kind of forget problems that you have and all that kind of stuff. It never did really solve the problem, but I mean, it just took you away from it a little while, and when you came back, it just slammed you in the face, and then you was all tore up even worse. And here he's inviting you. This is an opportunity for a sin-burdened heart to finally have rest. We can all remember that day before we, you know, when we came to that point where the Spirit of God was dealing with us and the unrest within our heart, when we knew that there was something missing and something, and it kept us tormented even. Back in our mind, it was even when we was doing other things that we enjoyed doing, there was still this thought behind, you know, that kept stirring us up and taking away our rest and taking away our peace. There's fear of death causes a lot of unrest in people's hearts. Well, I'll tell you, that was the one right there that really helped me. When I got saved, it took away the fear of death. I didn't have to worry about dying and going to hell anymore. Didn't have to worry about the house burning down, you know, and me being caught up in it, dying in the flames, and then find myself in the flames of hell. I didn't have to worry about that anymore when I trusted Christ. And that in itself was worth getting saved for. Amen. The dread of judgment is another thing that people are tore up about. They may not say a whole lot about it, and they keep it hidden, keep it on the back shelf so that it doesn't come out, you know. But I believe in the heart of everyone, there's a number one, a belief in God. Maybe a weak one, but if they believe in God, they have to believe that there's a judgment that's going to follow, because it has to be a righteous judge, and he's going to judge sin. He does not give this peace or this rest as a prescription. It's not like something that, here's... This is something that is real that he passes to that individual who would be willing to come to him and yoke up with him. I've seen the heart of an individual that has suffered a tremendous loss. And when the peace of God comes into their heart and that rest comes into the heart, how the face relaxes and they just simply begin to trust God. And know that God is a good God and He doeth all things well. There's just something about that, you know, when you put yourself in the hands of God, when you put yourself in the yoke with Christ, He gives you that rest. You hear him say, come unto me. Everything that is a burden to us should bring us to Christ for rest and relief. That's probably one of the things we're weak on, isn't it? We don't take everything to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord and you know, leave it at the altar and all. But we don't. We can handle it, can't we? We just sort of take care of all the little problems ourselves. We don't want to bother the Lord. He's probably got big things to do. He's going to move a planet over here, maybe a nebula out there, and maybe he's busy making a star or something like that. We don't want to bother God with the little things. But you know, He wants us to bring even the little things to Him. Well, He also, it's not only just an invitation to rest. And I believe that rest is speaking of a rejuvenation. And we could even take it a step farther and use the word revival in there. But I believe that's what he wants to do in the heart of an individual. And certainly, if he quiets the turmoil in your heart, certainly it's going to lead to a spiritual revival. So perhaps there's even that element of truth in that verse. What we need to do is take advantage of this loving offer that he's made. Number two, we're invited to serve. Take my yoke upon you. There's different yokes, you know. You know, there's an egg yoke. I don't think that's what he's talking about. But there's yokes that we put on ourselves. Satan has a yoke. Of course, it's a burdensome and brutal yoke. And then there's Christ's yoke, and it's the yoke that He Himself willingly took upon Himself. And that yoke is the Father's will. I delight to do Thy will, O Lord, my God. Psalm 40, verse 8. To take on this yoke means it's a life of entire consecration, submission. Submission to the work of God and submission to the will of God. That's what it is. This thing of taking on the yoke, I've tried to, you know, tried to envision this whole thing in my mind. I guess that's the artist in me. Whenever I hear a portion of Scripture, I try to visualize it somehow, put it in my mind in a way that I can actually see it. And I see this, I see the Lord Jesus Christ in this yoke. And He's inviting me to come over and take His yoke upon me. And I walk over to Him. And you know, here's the thing that gets me. Why would He want Don Williams to get in His yoke? Who am I? Who are you? I mean, we're just a piece of clay that God has embodied with His Spirit. But who are we anyhow that we could be yoked up with God? Think about that. And yet He calls to us in a very loving way and he invites us to come and take my yoke upon you. Wow, it gives me chills just to think that the Lord wants me in yoke with Him. And that implies that He wants me to labor alongside of Him as I go through life, doing the things that He's doing with Him. I get to do them with Him. Whenever you hand a tract to someone, you're in the yoke of Christ. Take a stand for righteousness, and somebody's cussing or something like that, and you take a stand and say, you know, you're using my Lord's name in vain. When you take a stand, I believe you're in His yoke. Everything that we do that glorifies God, I believe, places us in the yoke with Jesus Christ. I guess the yoke, when you get right down to it, is in one way it's the way of Christ. The way of Christ. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Take my yoke upon you. Well, the Apostle Paul, when he penned this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though," listen to the words now, "as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God." He's telling these people, he said, listen, we're in Christ's stead telling you that you need to get saved. After just putting it down flat on the road there. That's what he's saying. And so he has stepped into the yoke with Christ. In Christ's stead, he says. So he's right there with the Lord. Of course, we know the Lord has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He makes us co-workers with Him. In this work that is spread across the world. Take my yoke upon me. Let me ask you a question. Are you in His yoke right now? Is your desire, is your will in the place where God wants it? I mean, are you in the center of God's will? I mean, that's what we're really talking about here, isn't it? Because if you're in the center of God's will, you're going to be in His yoke. And you're going to be in a yoke with Him doing His work, doing the things that He wants done, that needs to be done. We're going to be in that yoke with Him, serving. So it's an invitation to rest, but it's also an invitation to serve. And then we're invited to learn. Wow. I don't know about you, but I don't feel too smart most of the time. I don't. I feel kind of dumb a lot of times. Sometimes when I stand up behind this pulpit and I look down at the message I'm going to preach and I feel awful stupid. I just don't feel like I'm, you know, going to get it across. There's times when my grandkids come up and they're doing this and they're saying, "You know how to do this, Grandpa?" And I feel kind of stupid about that time. There's a lot of times in my life, I guess, I've felt that way. But we're invited to learn of Him. But if you're going to learn of Him, you're going to have to get in His yoke beside of Him. The closer you are to Him, the more you'll learn of Him. I often think about the two on the road to Emmaus who's walking along talking about the Lord. And there were some things that they were missing. And Jesus just showed up as they was walking along and asked them a couple of questions and then expounded to them for about, I think it was about 7 miles. They walked together and they learned because they were yoked up with Him. You see, that's what God wants to do. He wants to walk with us through life. And as we walk along this road of life with Him, yoked up with Him, He imparts His wisdom and His knowledge to us. And that's what we need. If we're going to be discerning Christians, if we're going to have the ability to know the difference between right and wrong, then we need to be yoked up with Him where He imparts His learning to us. So He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly." I guess really right here is where I was thinking primarily about how insignificant I felt yoked up with the Lord. But He eases my concern when He says, "Hey, I'm just meek and lowly. I'm just like you." You know, He in Philippians it talks about how He humbled Himself and took on the body of a man in order that He might taste death for everyone. He's just meek and lowly. That doesn't mean He's less than God. It doesn't mean that we can call Him the man upstairs and that kind of stuff. That's not, it'd be disrespectful. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that God is putting us at ease. And He said, I'm meek and lowly. And this is the pattern that I want you to take. If you're going to get in the yoke with me and I'm meek and lowly, then you need to be meek and lowly. Meekness. Not weakness, but meekness. You know, there's a difference, and I'm sure you understand the difference there. In the school of suffering and the testimony for Christ, the deeper things of God are found in this learning process when you're yoked up with Him. You won't find them anyplace else. I find that most people that are Christians, I don't know why, but some Christians are ashamed, you know, to name the name of Christ. They're ashamed to be in the yoke, to be in the way, to live their life glorifying God. I'm not really sure why that is or how it can be. Because I can't imagine a Christian who really, really has trusted Christ their Savior and understands what the cost was for their salvation. I don't understand how they could possibly not be wanting to shout it from the rooftops. Hey, Jesus saves! Jesus saves! But there's those who do, and they don't have much of a testimony. And oftentimes I've even questioned whether they're really saved or not, but I'm not a judge. I just, you know, as someone has said, maybe a fruit inspector, you know. You know them by the fruits they bear. But if you're not a witnessing Christian, if you're not serving God in a positive way, in an active way, then you need to determine something. If I'm really saved, then I need to be yoked up with Christ. If I'm really saved, my life ought to count for Christ. If I'm really saved, my family depends upon my salvation. They're the ones that's going to either benefit or it's going to be detrimental to them if my testimony does not ring clear. Well, Christ's yoke is a way of life. No question about it. Our learning begins when we enter the yoke of Christ. If you're here tonight and you've not taken on that yoke, then this is the time when you need to do it. There's many, many branches of learning here with Him. We learn to be patient in suffering, to walk humbly, to trust implicitly, to love intensely, and to rejoice exceedingly. When these things take place in your life, there's a lot of things of this old world and the trash that this old world puts out that begins to just fall away. It's a natural thing. When you climb into the yoke with Christ, those things become so unimportant. When the learning process begins and you begin to see yourself growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. I wrote some special things down and I can't read them from here, so it's one of those things. My glasses are set to focus right about there, you know. It's not easy. All right. Let's see. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart," talking about drawing closer to Him in this yoke. James 4:8, I think you've studied that in your Sunday school class here. Draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. He's a reciprocal God. You do this and He'll do that. You do this, He'll do that. That's the way He works. And today, He's inviting you to take His yoke upon you. If you're here tonight and you need rest for your soul, if your heart's in turmoil for one reason or another, you know the one thing that I look over a crowd like this and you don't have time to study faces. But sometimes you can look into the face of an individual and you can almost see the turmoil that's going on inside their heart. Sometimes the face is they're not even really there. They're looking at you, but they're not hearing you. And you know that there's something going on inside, turmoil. That's what Jesus wants to give you rest from. He wants to give you rest, rejuvenate you, and put you back in the yoke with Him. Because you're precious and you're special. And He's meek and lowly so that He can accommodate you. If we can have these lights out, I want to show this chalk drawing.